podcast Going West know, my aunt, Carol Wollstonecraft, disappeared in Florida at the hands of her boyfriend in August of 1984 at the young age of 20. Her remains were never found. Although significant evidence against her boyfriend was uncovered by law enforcement, proving to investigators that he was behind her likely demise, he was never arrested for the crime. Detectives involved in her case, to whom I've spoken in recent years, have shared with me that Carol's disappearance still haunts them to this day, knowing they had the perpetrator in their grasp, yet weren't able to secure justice for her. Though investigators worked hard to solidify answers, this was, of course, devastating for my mom's family. To quote my grandmother Anne in a 1984 newspaper interview, "I have to know. I think it would be absolute torture not to ever know what happened to Carol." I wasn't alive when Carol was taken, but I recognize the unhealing scar her sudden absence has left for those immediately involved and those of us who came after. With or without closure, the pain this monster caused persists. The sad excuse of a man whose name does not deserve space in this passage, who is believed to have taken my Aunt Carol from us, went on to murder at least three more people. He stabbed a 26-year-old woman in her Harlem apartment in 2005 while her two young children were in the home. The following year, in 2006, he bludgeoned his 50-year-old girlfriend along with her 9-year-old daughter in their Upper West Side apartment with a hammer. For these murders, he was convicted and spent the rest of his years in a New York State prison before passing away in 2016, choosing to bring the details of Carol's murder with him to the grave. Having glimpsed the heartache and emptiness that a real crime such as this introduces to a family's life is what inspired me to start Going West in the first place, to recount unsolved or lesser-known stories, because someone always knows something. It also gave me the perspective to dive deep into the dark themes of human nature, allowing me to write a more accurate portrayal of the takedown of a savage. I am proud of Nola Strait, the fictional woman you will hear about in this story, for her indomitable determination to catch the bad guy who took someone special from her and from so many others. Let us all strive to be a little more like Nola. Because if we're lucky, justice may be on the other side of perseverance. Sincerely, Daphne Wollstonecraft.
1. Him. The creak, the squeak, from in the night, is quite enough to cause a fright. But when you see his wielding knife, it's far too late. He'll take your life. He lurks from deep beyond the gray. He thrives as loose among the prey. Like a fox to his hen, this he is called the hiding man. His first victim's stifled scream echoes in his ears as he composes each line, acting as background noise to his typing. Mere hours ago, while he drew his blade across her throat, her lips pressed against his gloved hand, the woman wrestled for mercy. Mercy, compassion, pity that would never come. It now forms as an unforgettable memory in his mind, one he has been replaying repeatedly since its recent genesis. In clean gloves, he tugs the poem from his aged typewriter and settles it delicately into a manila document mailer. His breath is heavy against the mask, with only thin slivers of air available through the mouth slit he cut out himself. But wearing it completes his transition like new skin, letting him embody the man of his choosing, his making. He's finding it loathsome to remove the newly created mask from his head, nearly wishing it would melt into his flesh and become his authentic face. With his non-dominant hand, he scribbles the Portland Police Department's address on the front of the mailer and thinks still of the screams and the sirens approaching the dead woman's house and the pigs finding his slaughtered hen. A tight smile forms beneath the fabric. He knows this is only